ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 21 एंटाइटल्ड एज इंस्ट्रक्शंस बाय महाराज पृथु टेक्स्ट 32 डिक्लेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद व्हेन अ डिवोटी टेक्स शेल्टर द लोटस फीट ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड He is completely cleansed of all misunderstanding or mental speculation, and he manifests renunciation. This is possible only when one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga. Once having taken shelter at the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, a devotee never comes back to this material existence, which is full of the threefold miseries. Please repeat after me. As stated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka instruction, by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, or by the process of hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord, one's mind is gradually cleansed of all dirt. Due to our material association since time immemorial, we have accumulated heaps of dirty things in our minds. The total effect of this takes place when a living entity identifies himself with this body and is thus entrapped by the stringent laws of material nature and put into the cycle of repeated birth and death under the false impression of bodily identification. When one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga, his mind is cleansed of this misunderstanding and he is no longer interested in material existence or in sense gratification. Bhakti or devotional service is characterized by vairagya and jnana. Jnana refers to understanding that one is not his body, and vairagya means disinterest in sense gratification. These two primary principles of separation from material bondage can be realized on the strength of bhakti yoga. Thus, when a devotee is fixed in the loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he will never come back to this material existence after quitting his body. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord, Tokta Dehang Punarjanmo Naiti Mameti Swarjuna. In this verse, the word vijnana is specifically important. Jnana, the knowledge of spiritual identity that one attains when he does not consider himself to be the body, is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Brahma Bhuta, or revival of spiritual realization. In the conditioned state of material existence, one cannot be spiritually realized because he identifies himself materially. The understanding of the distinction between material existence and spiritual existence is called jnana. After coming to the platform of jnana or Brahmabhuta state, one ultimately comes to devotional service, in which he completely understands his own position and the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding is explained here as vijnana vishesha. The Lord says, therefore, that knowledge of Him is vijnana, science. In other words, when one is strengthened by scientific knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinan, Jai Shri Jagannan, Baladev Shubhadra, Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai. In the other words, when one is strengthened by scientific knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his position of liberation is guaranteed. In Bhagavad Gita 9.2, the science of devotional service is described as pratyakshabhagamam dharmam, direct understanding of the principles of religion by realization. By practicing bhakti yoga, one can directly perceive his advancement in spiritual life. In other practices, like karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga, one may not be confident about his progress. But in bhakti yoga, one can become directly aware of his progress in spiritual life, just as a person who eats can understand that his hunger is satisfied. Our false appetite for enjoyment and lordship of the material world is due to the prominence of passion and ignorance. By bhakti yoga, these two qualities are diminished, and one becomes situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually surpassing the mode of goodness, one is situated in pure goodness, which is not contaminated by the material qualities. When thus situated, a devotee no longer has any doubts. He knows that he will not come back to this material world. Repeating the translation, when a devotee takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is completely cleansed of all misunderstanding or mental speculation, and he manifests renunciation. This is possible only when one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga. Once having taken shelter at the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, a devotee never comes back to this material existence, which is full of the threefold miseries. So, Prabhupada in the purport emphasized on the word vijnana vishesha, and Prabhupada explained here that as one practices devotional service, then automatically jnana and vairagya, these two qualities become automatically manifest. Jnana means knowledge or the awareness of one's identity as a spiritual being, and vairagya means renunciation or detachment from material objects. Jnana vairagya yuktaya. Devotional service is mixed, or devotional service is accompanied by jnana and vairagya. Also, it has been said that jnana and vairagya are two sons of devotion. Bhakti Devi, bhakti is actually a female, and she has two sons. Those two sons are Gyan and Vairagya. Also, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recognized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his prayer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also mentioned that Vairagya Vidya Nijabhukti Yogam Shikhartameka Purusha Purana, that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared, who is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purusha Purana. And he appeared in order to teach the science of devotional service, science of his own devotion, Nijabhukti Yogam. And this has been described as the science of devotional service, and it is accompanied, or it is manifest automatically in renunciation. How one is making advancement in devotional service will be noticed by how much one has become detached. And this detachment is not an artificial detachment. It is a detachment based on knowledge. And in the purport, Prabhupada very clearly explained that. He says that when one becomes, first of all, gyan does not mean some kind of mental speculation of the philosophers. The philosophers are known as gyanis, but this is not the kind of gyan that Vasudeva is mentioning here, or Prabhupada is elaborating in his purport. In the purport, Prabhupada has very clearly pointed out that jnana here means that awareness of one's identity as a spiritual entity. So here, one very important thing to consider is that the material jnana or material knowledge is acquired by our brains, by our head. But spiritual knowledge is not received in the head. The spiritual knowledge is received in the heart. And that knowledge is the awareness of one's identity as a spiritual being. And that awareness comes in the heart. In the head, we cannot understand that we are spiritual beings. By mental speculation, by accumulation of knowledge, by means of our sense perception, we can never understand that we are spiritual entities. Now, medhaya, na bohuna shrutena. This spiritual knowledge cannot be received by medhaya. Medhaya means memory or intelligence. Medha means memory or intelligence. Na medhaya, not by means of memory or intelligence. Na bohuna shrutena, not even by studying the Vedic scriptures can one understand this science of spiritual knowledge or this science of spiritual identity of a living entity. But how can it be received? One who has approached the self-realized souls, the devotees of Krishna, he only can understand the science of spiritual knowledge. So that is actually an awareness of one's own identity. The spirit soul is situated in the heart, and one's awareness as a spiritual entity also comes in the heart, not in the head. Another point to consider here is that every day we sing during the Guru Puja, the Divya Gyan Ride Prakashita. This transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart. Ridai means the heart, and Ride means in the heart. And prakashito means manifest. The way the sun comes up, no one can actually see the sun with lamps or even powerful lights. You cannot see the sun with light from outside. But when the sun comes up in the sky, then automatically the sun becomes visible, and with the light of the sun, everything becomes visible. So the same way, the spiritual knowledge is revealed in the heart, and the way it is revealed is not na medhaya na bohuna shrutena, not by memory, intelligence, or studies, even studies of the scriptures, not even by austerities and penances, not by any of these external or artificial endeavors. The only way it can be revealed is by receiving the mercy. Tadbiddhi pranipatena pariprasnena shivaya upodekshantite jnanam Gyaninastattvadarshina. When we approach a bona fide teacher of Krishna consciousness, with a humble attitude, we inquire from him sincerely and we try to please him by rendering service unto him, then he imparts the knowledge unto us because he has the knowledge. So to be a teacher in Krishna consciousness, the only qualification is that he must know the science of Krishna consciousness himself. That is the basic qualification of a teacher. Like, he must have the knowledge himself, otherwise he can't give it. And the one who has Krishna consciousness, he can give it to others very, very easily. And this knowledge is transmitted by mercy that flows from the higher to higher level to the lower level, and the recipient of the mercy is Shraddha, faith, respect towards the superiors. So that is the factor that forces this knowledge to flow. From the lower level, the devotees hanker for the knowledge, pranipatena pariprashnena shivaya. And from the higher level, from the person who has the knowledge, from him it flows down in the form of upadesha. Upadesha means instruction. But this instruction flows in the form of mercy. Upadekshanti. Upadekshanti te gyanam. Also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, and the qualification of a teacher or a guru is that jai Krishna tattva vetta kiva vipra kiva nashi shudra kene na. It doesn't really matter whether one is a Brahmin or a sannyasi or a sudra or a householder, or even if he is a mlecha or chandal and so on and so forth. But jai Krishna tattva vetta shei guru hai. The person who is qualified, the person who knows Krishna, he is qualified to become a guru. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has established that point very wonderfully. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute the holy name and to propagate the Sankirtan movement. And the Yuga Dharma of this age is Naam Sankirtan. Krishna Naam Sankirtan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Haridas Thakur the Namacharya, who actually was born in a Muslim family. Now it's not only a matter of Sudra or so and so forth. The Muslims were considered to be the lowest class of people in India at that time. They were the lowest class of people. Like yesterday we were discussing in an answer to one of your questions, that how the Muslims were looked down upon, so much so that if somebody drank water from the hand of a Muslim, he was considered to have lost his Hindu heritage. He was immediately converted into a Muslim, or forced to convert into a Muslim. So they were so much looked down upon. Of course, due to the ignorance, because every living entity is a spiritual being and he should never be looked down upon, no matter how degraded he is. So in order to establish that point, that no one should be looked down upon, no one is disqualified in the eyes of Krishna. And in order to establish the point of jai Krishna tattva vetta sei guru hai, the basic qualification of a guru is to become Krishna conscious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family, the Namacharya, the Acharya of the Nam Sankirtan movement. So that is the basic qualification of a teacher or a guru. And when one receives his mercy, then this transcendental knowledge becomes manifest in the heart automatically. Of course, that doesn't mean that we should not endeavor, but the endeavor should be simply to please the personalities, those who are representing Krishna. That is very, very important. If we render a lot of service, but if we displease the Vaishnavas, we can't make advancement in spiritual life. On the other hand, we may even fall down. On the other hand, if we just render service to the Vaishnavas and try to please them, then very easily we can make advancement. So the secret of success in spiritual life is to please the Vaishnavas and receive the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So as aspiring Vaishnavas and as members of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we should be very, very careful not to offend other Vaishnavas and always try to please the other Vaishnavas. Actually, we run a very big risk of offending Vaishnavas because we are always surrounded by Vaishnavas. And a familiarity some or other breeds contempt. Knowingly or unknowingly, the other senior devotees, I mean, all the devotees are actually very, very special in the eyes of Krishna. And we may take them we may become very familiar with them. And we may consider that they are just another person, ordinary person. And we may even offend him. Although Vaishnava doesn't take the offense, but if we offend a Vaishnava, then Krishna becomes displeased. And that happens like when we hurt somebody. When you hurt a Vaishnava, if the Vaishnava is hurt, he may not express it externally. Or he may even say, well, it's all right, I didn't mind. But Krishna, who is sitting in the heart of a Vaishnava, he feels that pain. And Krishna does not forgive that. So that's why you should be very, very careful not to hurt anybody, any Vaishnava in the society. Instead, we should always try to please them. And it's actually very, very easy to please the Vaishnavas. And when you try to please the Vaishnavas, then automatically we become very joyful. And we begin to get the taste of devotional service. Because then we begin to feel the wonderful effect of devotional service in the heart. And that is actually joy that we are looking for. Joy is not an external thing. Joy is not external. Joy is actually internal. Joy is in the heart. And when our hearts develop our relationship with the other Vaishnavas, when we develop a relationship with Krishna through the other Vaishnavas, then we automatically become very joyful. And so those who are really intelligent, they will not look for enjoyment outside through the material objects. They will look for enjoyment in the heart of his heart, or rather they will look for enjoyment in the hearts of their hearts. Through rendering devotional service. And when that happens, as devotion develops in our hearts, then automatically we become detached from matter. So that's why Gyan and Vairagya are are present simultaneously, side by side. When the gyan manifests, when we become aware of our spiritual identity, when we develop devotional service to Krishna, or we develop attachment to devotional service to Krishna, then automatically we become detached from matter because we see how insignificant it is. Like when we realize that the real enjoyment is in the heart of our hearts, then why should we look for enjoyment out of material objects? Like when somebody becomes aware of the value of gold, he automatically loses interest for mud. If you have a lot of gold, then why will you accumulate mud? The same way, when we get the taste of Krishna consciousness, then automatically we become detached from matter. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo virakti ranatrishat. Parasya bhakti anubhavo. Anubhavo means awareness or feeling. When we feel the transcendental devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then viraktir annatrushat. Virakti means disgust. Ashokti means attachment and virakti means disgust. They are two opposite things. And annatrushat, for everything else, we become totally disgusted. So, the same way, when we develop our attachment to Krishna, when we develop our attachment to the devotees of Krishna, the Vaishnavas, then automatically we become detached from material attachments. For example, we can say, like, if we feel that how wonderful it is, if we become aware of the fact how wonderful it is to be in the association of devotees. Then if somebody comes and tells us, like, let's go some other place, then we'll automatically feel that what's the use of going to the other place? Like, when we develop attachment to Krishna consciousness, especially in the beginning, we notice it very, very clearly. Because at that time we are in the tatastha position, in a marginal position. In one way the devotees are pulling us, and then at the same time our mundane relatives and friends are also pulling us from the other side. So there is a tug of war. But we naturally become interested towards the devotees. Like when we get to realize that how wonderful it is to be in the association of devotees, then some friends come and tell us, let's go to a party. We say, no, I'm not interested. So that is the sign, like virakti ranatrushat. For other things we become disgusted. What's the point in going to parties? What's the point in going to restaurants? What's the point in going to movies and concerts and so on and so forth? One loses the taste for those so-called enjoyments. So that is the sign of spiritual advancement. And as we make advancement, we naturally become detached. So Prabhupada is pointing out that vairagya is automatically manifest. As devotees, we do not have to separately endeavor for renunciation. We do not have to try to renounce. We'll automatically become renounced. And that's why Prabhupada did not really appreciate artificial renunciation. Prabhupada always discouraged the so-called artificial renunciation. Once, Kirtananda Swami was giving a lecture early days in New York. Prabhupada, that was in 76, Prabhupada used to allow some of his disciples to give lectures. And on Sunday feast, so Kirtananda Maharaj was giving a lecture and Prabhupada was sitting there, and Kirtananda Maharaj mentioned how wonderful it is to be in Krishna consciousness. He said Krishna consciousness means just being, chanting in ecstasy, dancing in ecstasy, and taking Krishna prasad, and doing some work, doing a little work for Krishna. And Prabhupada immediately stopped him. He said, no, in Krishna consciousness there is no work. Even the service that we rend, Prabhupada pointed out that there's a difference between service and work. Work is imposed upon somebody. One is forced to work. Whereas devotional service is work is imposed upon somebody. One is forced to work. Whereas devotional service is rendered spontaneously out of love. So when you do something out of love for Krishna, then it is not work, it is enjoyment. And Prabhupada pointed out, Krishna consciousness means enjoyment all the way. We have come here to enjoy. We haven't come here to suffer. Now, in the beginning, there may be some kind of feeling that we are suffering because we can't indulge in so-called mundane enjoyments. But actually, ultimately, those abstinence becomes the source of joy. When somebody is diseased and he is not allowed to do certain things, he may think that he is being restricted and he doesn't like the restriction. But that restriction is good for him in order to become cured. Especially children, when they have fever, they don't want to lie on the bed. They want to go to the field and play with the other friends. But the parents force him to stay in bed and doesn't go and not to go out. But that's for his benefit, and when he becomes cured, then he can indulge in real plays which will not harm him by any chance. So in everything that we like to do, we have the opportunity to do that in Krishna consciousness. Generally, when people want to enjoy, they want to sing or dance. And Krishna consciousness is based on singing and dancing. When people want to enjoy, they want to eat. Prabhupada used to say, Krishna consciousness is actually a kitchen culture. Like our whole culture is in the kitchen. And we prepare wonderful delicious prasad, and we delicious bhogas, and offer them to Krishna and receive them as Krishna prasad. So it's such a wonderful process. So why should we why should we run after dry renunciation? Also, somebody made a comment on the prayer, Sharira Vidya Jal, that says, one line later on says, Joge Jogi Paye Jaha, Bhoge Aaj Habe Taha. What a yogi gets out of his yoga perfection, we will receive that perfection by bhog or by enjoyment, by enjoying Krishna prasad. So he modified that line and he said, Joge Jogi na paaye jaha, what a yogi does not get by his yogic perfection, we will receive that by enjoying Krishna prasad. So that is our process. It's a process of indulging in the supreme enjoyment. And when we get the taste of the supreme enjoyment, then automatically we give up the lower enjoyments. The lower enjoyments are automatically rejected when one receives the higher taste. Param drishta nivartate. One becomes naturally disgusted with material enjoyment just by getting the taste of Krishna consciousness. Now, how to get the taste of Krishna consciousness? By associating with the devotees favorably. That's the first thing. Of course, the first thing is Shraddha, to have implicit faith in Krishna, to have the faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that stage we already have achieved. We have the faith in Krishna. We believe that Krishna is God. That's why we are here. Now, we must associate with the sadhus. Ado shuddha tato sadhu sangha. So now, the sadhu sangha is the most important thing. We must associate with the devotees favorably. We must befriend the devotees. We should never offend any devotee. We should never hurt any devotee. If we do hurt somebody, then immediately we should go and apologize, beg forgiveness. And Vaishnavas are very merciful. If we commit an offense to a Vaishnava, and then if we beg forgiveness from him, then the Vaishnava will immediately embrace him and say, "No, Prabhu, you never committed any offense. You never committed any offense to me." So this is how wonderful the Vaishnava association is. And by being favorably disposed to other Vaishnavas, sadhus, we can make advancement very rapidly. And as we make advancement, we get the taste of Krishna consciousness. And as we get the taste of Krishna consciousness, our hearts become softer and softer. And as our hearts become softer and softer, we become more and more humble. It needs a very hard heart to be arrogant. People, those who are arrogant, their hearts are actually very hard. But a person whose heart is soft, he becomes very humble, naturally. He doesn't have to artificially endeavor to become humble. Naturally he will act in a humble way. And the process of Krishna consciousness is actually to soften our hearts. The impurities are the thing that cause the hardening of the heart. It puts layers, and more impurities are there, it becomes like a hard shell around our hearts. So that's why we have the process of Cheto Darpana Marjanam. We are trying to rub it off by chanting the holy name and associating with the devotees favorably. And when our hearts become soft, then Krishna automatically will manifest in that heart. Not only he will manifest in our hearts, but he will steal our hearts. When our hearts become soft as butter, which is a very soft object and very rich at the same time, then the butter thief Krishna will steal our hearts. And when our Krishna steals our hearts, then we receive the bhava. We receive the transcendental ecstasy. Because the heart is stolen away by Krishna, we completely forgot ourselves, and we are completely absorbed with Krishna. And sometimes we cry, sometimes we dance, sometimes we laugh. We'll behave like a madman at that time. Of course, that's not an artificial thing. We have to wait for Krishna to steal our hearts. So let's all try our best to help each other to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comments? Danavir Prabhu, you make some comments. Jai Gopal Prabhu. Some comments. Hare Krishna. Yes. There is a shloka in Bhagavatam that says, Nahi kollana krit koshchit durgatim tato gacchati. One whose intentions are good, he never really durgatim. Durgatim means he never really suffers some adverse situation. So, if the intention is good, with good intention, you try to help others. And in the process, if the person is hurt, it doesn't matter because you are actually doing it for his benefit. For instance, a doctor comes to treat a patient, right? Now, the doctor, in the process of curing that patient, he may hurt the patient to shove the needle. It hurts, so it may hurt the patient. Sometimes to cut, he has to cut him open. Right? So it may hurt, but that's for his benefit. So if you do it, now what is the difference between a doctor and a murderer? Right? The doctor's intentions are good. He's trying to help that patient. Right? Whereas if somebody comes and for no rhyme or reason, you know, sticks a knife in somebody's guts, I mean, like that's totally different. I mean, so the same way we have to do it with, if we are doing that, helping a devotee, we have to do it like a doctor, for his benefit. We detect some defect and try to cure him of that defect. So that's why it should be done by very senior devotees. Not anybody and everybody should try to do that. That job must be done by the senior devotee. And if some junior devotee has some doubts about some other devotees, he should go to the senior devotees and ask for his opinion, what he thinks about it. Right? Hare Krishna.